How many can praise the name of Jesus? He is worthy. I don't know about you, but I have felt the Spirit in this place. If you have felt it, won't you raise your hand and don't allow that Spirit to leave? The Bible says that we have to welcome the Spirit of God, right? The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in His name, He is within our midst. And when He's within our midst, we got to make sure we grab onto Him. We can't just let Him go that easily. We can't just let what God has spoken into our lives to just walk out, right? So whenever the Spirit of God is moving, we got to be sensitive. We got to be sensitive to what He's doing today. Amen? How many are blessed this morning? How many are happy as the start of the holiday season? Amen. I know for us it's extra special because we're not just celebrating a tradition. We're not just celebrating another season. We are celebrating the birth of our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. How many can bless Him? And I know my wife is hiding somewhere and I won't point her out because I don't want to embarrass her. But today we're celebrating our wedding anniversary. I just want to tell her that I love her. It's been 13 years. It's been hard. We've had struggles. But if we're here, it's because of the grace of God. And I just want to tell you that no matter what you go through, no matter the dire circumstances that we go through, there is a Savior. There is a Spirit that is here to deliver us, to set us free. And I hope that during the time of worship, you were also ministered to. I know that I was. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk to you not just about my history, but also about the fact that I'm very fond of history. I like to watch documentaries. I like to see things on Netflix related to historical figures and historical eras. In fact, history was one of the subjects that I really excelled in school. And one of the time periods that I'm most interested in is the American Revolutionary War. One interesting person that comes to mind that symbolizes America's struggle for liberty is Patrick Henry. Anybody ever heard of Patrick Henry? Patrick Henry was an attorney, an orator, and politician. He even served as a colonel during the Revolutionary War. And in March 1775, Patrick Henry urged his fellow Virginians at St. John's Church in Richmond to fight the British in words that would become the battle cry of the colonials. He says, and I quote, "It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why do we stand here idle? What is the gentleman that gentlemen wish? What would they have? If life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Patrick Henry saw that life under the tyranny of the British government was no life at all. He famously declared, "Give me liberty or give me death." In our present day, there are churches, there are people in churches and congregations who are in homes that are living under oppression and bondage. Not bondage to the state, not bondage but to a government, but bondage in their life, in their spirit, in their minds, and in their lifestyle. Many Christians live in bondage because they don't know any other way to live. They live enslaved to different masters. They are so accustomed to being enslaved that slavery is the new norm. Slavery is the new status quo. They don't know how to be free. They don't even know how they can get it to freedom. They are so defeated that there is no fight left in them. Oh, if Christians would have the same passion that Patrick Henry had, that would declare in the spirit, "God, give me liberty or give me death." You can't continue living like this. The Bible declares that you were created to be free. This eternal truth eludes many Christians because they have accustomed their life to slavery, to spiritual slavery. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free." It is God's will for you to be free today. Jesus has come to tell you that He wants to set you free today. The title of today's sermon is "Freedom is the Only Way to Live." And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I'm going to ask you guys to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It is a verse that you're very much familiar with. Because it's something that it's quoted very often in many churches and in many circles and in many services. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, do you have it? If you have it, say amen. If not, hold up. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I'm just going to ask you guys to bow with me as we pray, as we prepare the hearts for what God has to speak into our lives. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the prophetic word that you're speaking. We thank you, Lord, because you are setting the stage for deliverance, Lord. I know that not everyone here, Lord, is not here by coincidence, Lord. I believe that you have brought them to share this word because they've been living in bondage and they are in need of deliverance. They have accepted the fact that they are enslaved to different masters, God, and you have come to tell us that it is the Spirit of God that sets us free. It is the Spirit of God that brings liberty and freedom. So I ask, Lord, hearts would be willing and the hearts would be prepared, Lord, for the seed that you are ready to plant and for the freedom that you are prepared to give them. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Our Lord and Savior, amen and amen. In order to understand the declaration that is found in chapter 3 and in verse 17 specifically, we need to look at the context of the verse. In chapter 3, Paul states that the law of Moses brought death because it was the means to condemn violators of the law. But he points out that the law no longer has a hold on us because we have been qualified by the blood of Jesus and he has given us freedom from the law. He states in verse 6 in the Amplified Version, he has qualified us. How many of you have ever felt disqualified? I know I have. But I know that when we are found in Jesus, he qualifies us. And the Bible says in verse 6, he has qualified us, making us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ, not of the letter or of a written code, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills by revealing sin and demanding obedience, but the Spirit gives life. God has not only given us freedom from the law, but he has given us total freedom in our spirit, in our mind, in our behaviors, in our lifestyles, and in our relationships. We find freedom when we find the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can set us free. We fall into bondage when we adopt certain mindsets and behaviors that we find refuge in order to deal with difficult life circumstances. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to let the Spirit of God indicate to you, what are the things right now that you're finding refuge in? What are the things right now that you are finding refuge in that God is telling you that is not where you're supposed to be finding refuge in? Is it a thought? Is it a past experience? Is it a person? Is it a job? Is it a behavior? The psalmist famously said in Psalms 46, let me see if you guys are my Bible scholars in here. What does Psalms 46 says? It says, Facebook is my refuge. Does it say the amounts of likes are my refuge? Does it say alcohol is my refuge? Does it say hatred is my refuge? Does it say anger is my refuge? No, it says God is my refuge and strength, my ever-present help in trouble. If God is your ever-present strength, why don't you stand up and praise him right now? Why don't you declare that he is our ever-present help? He is in this place. He is here to declare liberty. He is here to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Declare, we declare your victory in this place, God. Hallelujah. It starts a little at a time when we find refuge in these things. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15 says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Because it is the little foxes that ruin the vineyard. It is the little things in our lives that turns us into slaves and into bondage. It starts off with, I'm going to have a little cup of wine to unwind. Let me just check out this Triple X video just to relax a little bit. Let me just overeat this one time. Let me just choose not to trust this person. All I need to do is avenge myself this one time. Let me just light this joint and relax a little bit. It's the little things that become a refuge that can become a bondage, an addiction, a stronghold, enslavement. There are too many people who can't experience the freedom of God's promises because they have grown affectionate to the things that have enslaved them. In 1973, four hostages were taken in a bank robbery in Stockholm, Sweden. They were held for 6 days. The hostages ended up defending their captors in court after they were released. And they even agreed not to testify in court against them. It became known as Stockholm Syndrome, where hostages develop a psychological alliance with their captors during captivity. One of the features of Stockholm Syndrome is a hostage development of positive feeling towards their captors. Let me tell you, there's Christians who have spiritual Stockholm Syndrome. They keep going back to the things that keep them captive, even to the point of defending it and justifying it. The behaviors that are so self-destructive, or even relationships that are so unhealthy, we keep latching onto. We will even grieve the loss of a person that has caused us so much harm. As a therapist, we see people continuously fall into abusive relationships and what becomes a cycle of abuse. But I have good news. You don't have to be enslaved no more. It is the Spirit of the God who is in this place, and He can set you free. The first principle for freedom, for those who are writing and taking notes, is recognition. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, when Jesus encounters an invalid who has been paralyzed for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda and asks him a simple but obvious question, do you want to be well? Do you notice the response of the man? I got nobody to put me in a wave pool. He didn't say that. I'm just paraphrasing. Because the Bible says that an angel will come and stir up the waters, right? It was like a modern-day wave pool. This was what was believed in tradition, but not anything that anybody's ever observed at that time. You notice he didn't answer the question. He didn't say, yes, I want to be free. Jesus did not ask him how you're going to be healed or set free. But the man was more focused on the how rather than the why. Sometimes the why is more important than the how. There are too many people concerned about the how rather than the question of why do you want to be free. I think Jesus told him to pick up his pallet, which is what he would sit on, where people would carry him when he would go to the pool of Bethesda, because he didn't want him acting like he was paralyzed. Because I could see him, right, with his pallet, after Jesus had done the miracle, him sitting by the wayside and acting like he's still paralyzed. Let me panhandle again. Right? Why? Because this is what he was accustomed for 38 years. He was accustomed to being paralyzed. And that's why Jesus said, I need you to pick this up and be reminded about the fact that you never have to sit down and beg again, because I've set you free. It's easy to go back to that pallet. Do you know why? Because it's easy to be a victim of our circumstance. When we are a victim, it has benefits. It generates self-pity. It allows me to excuse my own situation. Even worse, I can never rise above my weaknesses and circumstances. Jesus is asking you today the same question he asks this invalid in the New Testament in John chapter 5. Do you want to be free? Freedom carries with it responsibility. Many of us are responding like the invalid. I can't forgive this person when Jesus is asking us, do you want to be free? I've been addicted for too long. God, it's too hard. Well, you know, my family has hurt me too many times. The last church I went to took advantage of me. I can never trust again. Will you allow God to set you free today? The second principle for freedom is humility. 2 Kings chapter 5 introduces us the story of Naaman. How many of you guys know the story of Naaman? Naaman was a commander, a man of high esteem who had many military victories. In spite of everything that he had accomplished, he had leprosy. Like so many of us, we may be gifted, we may have success, we may be anointed, but we have an ailment that keeps on affecting us and afflicting us. The Bible says in verse 9, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. Now, if we don't know the time period and we don't know much about the Jordan River, this wouldn't seem like a big deal, right? But basically, he was telling him to go to Flushing Meadow Park to the lake there and jump in there 7 times, right? That water's dirty, right? I used to go there as a kid. I always thought, why didn't allow people to swim in there? There's a reason why people are not swimming in there, right? But Naaman went angry and said, I thought that he would surely come to meet me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand around the spot and cure me leprosy like Elijah was some type of Jedi, right? He was going to wave his hand and, you know, do some type of ritual and he was going to clean him of his skin, right? I got to make Star Wars references, huge Star Wars fan. But that's not what God had planned to cure Naaman, right? Because Naaman in his mind had a way of how God operates, but you know what? God doesn't operate the way we want him to. And God had a different way of healing Naaman. Verse 12, he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned off in a rage. In order for Naaman to be restored, to be free, to be healed, he needed to humble himself to what the prophet of God was instructing him to do. But many of us take the attitude of Naaman. I'm the pastor. I'm the deacon in the church. I'm a singer on the worship team. I'm one of the musicians. I'm part of the children's ministry. I'm too educated for that. I got all these credentials. I got all these letters after my name. Pride is what's keeping us from being free. One thing I've learned in my journey is that pride and the Holy Spirit can't coexist. These individuals keep saying, I am, I am, I am, and they keep forgetting who the great I am is. If you want freedom, you're going to have to humble yourself. The last point to freedom is accountability. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. There is power in confession. When we are vulnerable, God can work. And that is why the verse says, let the weak say, I am strong. The reason why they're strong is because they have found their strength in God. Because we are not self-sufficient. And we need to depend on God if we want to be free. After today, some of you guys are going to need to get yourself an accountability partner, a friend, a minister, a therapist. And you're not wrong with seeking mental health therapists. A mentor, a support group, a psychiatrist if you need it. Some of you guys are going to need to do something, but you can't continue to live enslaved. Any 50 Cent fans in here? 50 Cent fans? Don't raise your hand. I'm kidding. The rapper 50 Cent had an album that came out in the year 2000. It was called Get Rich or Die Trying. I want to suggest a new slogan for you. Get free or die trying. It is the Spirit of God that can bring you freedom. Now, the reason why I could talk about freedom is because I had to go through this process myself. And there's one thing that I will always appreciate about the pastor, something that has resonated with me. One time when we spoke, he said, you never want to go up and preach about something you're not living and come down and feel like, oh, man, I just talked about something that I haven't lived and gone through. And that has resonated with me. And every time that I'm asked to speak, I'm like, I can only speak about the things that I've gone through, the victories that I've had. I can't preach about someone else's victories. I can only preach and talk about my own. So, you know, I found myself very much, like many others, chained. And for those of you that grew up in the Assemblies of God, you know we would have these retreats for the youth called Winterfest and Springfest, right? You guys remember that? And I remember going those weekends full-fledged, seeing people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, people getting delivered, demons being set free. And I would go to those retreats, go those weekends, and feel so empowered just to come back Monday just to put the handcuffs back on. Why? Because I didn't know how to be free. I didn't know what it was to be free because I had never experienced freedom my entire life. But I came to understand through these principles as God has been working in my life for the last couple of years. He has come to set me free because he doesn't want this to be something temporary where we come to church and then as soon as the church service is over, they go right back on. God wants us to be free for the rest of our lives because freedom is something that we have to work on diligently. It's something that we always have to be on the lookout for because if not, we will be chained back into it once again. And it wasn't until I realized what I struggled with, that I humbled myself, that I found accountability, that's when the Spirit started to bring freedom into my life. And those are the things that you're going to have to do if you're serious and committed to being free. Psalms 32, verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble, and you surround me with songs of deliverance. How many know that God sings songs of deliverance over our lives? There is a spirit of God that lives within each and every one of us, and he's singing songs of deliverance, hoping one day we will come to a place where we will want freedom once again, that he will be able to sing this song and bring deliverance. I remember my time of being chained up. The Holy Spirit would sing to me. And one of the songs that the Holy Spirit would bring to me is how he loves us. Because there was times where I didn't feel loved. There was times where I felt disgusted and unqualified. But the Holy Spirit sang to me, even in the midst of that, even in the midst of my turmoil, he would sing to me, oh, how he loves us. And God is here to tell you that he loves you. If you allow him to set you free, he will do it. I believe in a God that is mighty. I believe in a God that is powerful. I believe in a God that can intervene in human affairs in any point in time and bring deliverance. How many can believe that? I'm going to ask you guys to stand up, please. The Holy Spirit is in this place. He wants to sing songs of deliverance over your life. I don't know what you find yourself chained to, or broken, attached to, but he is here to tell you, I've come to set you free. And not the freedom that the world offers you, but true freedom in the spirit. A true freedom. And let me tell you, not everything is dandy. Not everything works out. Even though we try to live in freedom and we try to be accountable to others, things get rough in spite of it. But I know that I would rather live in freedom with Jesus now than living in bondage, living in disobedience, living in complete darkness. I know that he has called me into freedom. And there was times where I didn't think I could be free. You know, as an adult, I was diagnosed with OCD. I didn't know what that was. So it's an anxiety disorder. And in my teens, I would fall into these stupors where I would just repeat, almost losing my mind. Just sitting in a place and just in a stupor, just saying repetitions and saying repetitions. God lifted me up from there. God can do it. If he did it for me, he could do it for you. I was a very angry person. I had a lot of road rage. I know some of you guys can identify with that, driving in New York. But God set me free from anger. God set me free from other behaviors that were not my fault. And let me tell you something. The stuff that you're captive to, the stuff that has a hold on you, is not your fault. For the most part, it's not your fault. But it also means that you, once you recognize it, you have responsibility before God. What are you going to do about it? I've learned that through recognition, through humility, through accountability, I can live in freedom. And I can have freedom, long-lasting freedom. His spirit is in this place. We don't need to live chained up. We don't need this to be another service where right after this we go right back to it. Or tomorrow. Or the next day. He wants to break those chains. He doesn't want you to have any form of bondage anymore. He doesn't want you going back to that. I don't know what it is for you. Mindset. I don't know if it's an addiction. I don't know if it's a passion. A behavior. But God is here to tell you that you can be free in the spirit today. The Apostle Paul said it very clearly. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Will you allow the spirit of God to come into you, into your life? Listen, I know we accept the spirit. The spirit comes into our heart when we accept them. Theologically, we know that. But we also know that there's parts about our life that we close off to the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit is not going to come with a battering ram and break through the doors of your heart. He doesn't work like that. Right? He works based on our free will. So won't you open up that area of your life that you said no one will ever know about, no one will ever touch. Won't you allow the Holy Spirit to enter that very place that you thought about right now as I was talking about it. That place that the Holy Spirit brought into your mind, that is a place he wants to deliver you from. His Spirit is in this place. His spirit is in this place. Lord, we bless you. We bless you, Jesus. I'm going to ask those And I'm going to ask you to be brave. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to come to the altar. And sometimes we fight it even when we know the Spirit is leading us. But I'm going to ask you to be brave and come to the altar. Don't worry about your position. Don't worry about how people will see you. Don't worry about none of those things, because freedom is a personal choice. Freedom is a personal choice. Don't worry about who's looking. If you want freedom, you can have it. If I've been able to experience, listen, I'm no different from you. I'm not standing here because I have special powers. I'm standing here because I've learned to recognize that there is freedom in the Spirit of God. There is freedom. He can deliver you. If He delivered me, He can deliver you. So I'm going to ask you to be bold and come to the altar. There is freedom in this place. There is freedom in this place. Come up. There's freedom. Kura mama shate, kura mashete, ira mama shata, ura baba shate. Father, there's freedom in this place. There's freedom. There's freedom. Don't live bound up in chains no more. Don't live in hatred. Don't live in anger from the pains of the past. You can be free. Listen, for some of you guys, the freedom is going to be instantaneous. For some of you guys, it's going to be a process. But I promise you, if you go through that process of freedom like I did, He's going to be with you every step of the way. Every step of the way, He's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death if He has to. Whatever it is you're battling, He's here to set you free. Hallelujah, Father. In this moment, as Your people have made an act of faith to come up, Lord, we declare freedom in the Spirit. We declare that there is liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. There is power. There is conviction, Lord. And I thank You for their bravery. I thank You for their hearts, Lord, that have come to humble themselves, recognizing that it is only You who can set us free. Right now, Father, open up the hearts. Break the chains. Holy Spirit, bring freedom into every individual. Even those that didn't come up, Lord, I pray right now in their seats, Holy Spirit, that You would minister to them in their seats, that You would break the chains in their seat, that You would break the chains in their family, that You would break the chains in their relationships, that You would break the chains in their spirit, Father, right now. Break the chains, Holy Spirit. I ask it and I believe it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, there is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.